issues, all kinds of things weighing on our hearts, maybe things that have attacked us physically, maybe things that have attacked us spiritually. Maybe there's a few chains hanging off of us. We've dragged them in here. Lord, I pray that at this moment, as we come here just like we are, you understand, you know how we are. You know the things we struggle with. You know the bondage that we're in at times. Lord, I pray that you would break through that, that your Spirit would move in our hearts, that you would break away the callousness, that you would push through the walls, that you would open up our hearts so that we might let you in and let your Spirit shape us, that your Spirit would heal us, or that you would make us who you want us to be, the kind of people that are victorious in this life and are prepared for eternal life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This week, listening to some of the things that have been going on, and you can't help but hear all the, I don't know, the dialogue and the arguments and the, we call them talking heads in the news and all those things. But you can't help but wonder, what in the world? You know, and I want to address something that's probably not popular to address, but I want to address it because it's been a part of our world history. Slavery. From the beginning of history, there's been slavery. The Israelites, they were slaves. The Israelites had slaves. Babylon enslaved the Israelites and others. We know about African people were enslaved. British people had slaves. Then they refined the name. They didn't like that, you know, it was a little too coarse. So they call them butlers. You know. They brought slaves to America. But you know what's interesting is everybody had slaves. The African people had slaves. In fact, in America, some of the biggest slave owners were black people. There were 3,776 free black men and women who had slaves. So, slavery has been everywhere. And yet, it's one of those things that, you know, we don't want to talk about. But you know that we all are slaves to something. You might be a slave to your job. You might consider your employer a slave driver. We've been enslaved throughout our own lives in some way or another. But you know, further than that, it's not just physical. There's a spiritual slavery that I want to address. In Exodus, we all know that the Israelites were slaves for 400 years, and then Moses arrived on the scene and he rescued them out. You know, God called Moses, and Moses did those 10 miraculous things, and the last one was the firstborn, and then the Israelites were released, and they went into the wilderness, and you know, and throughout Scripture, you find references to Egypt and Israel as a metaphor. It's a metaphor of slavery to sin. And it's interesting because Israel is a lot like us, because we get freed And then all of a sudden, we kind of look back and wonder, well, you know, I kind of wish I was still doing that. Or I still kind of want to be involved in this. So I want us to go to John chapter 8, 1629 in your pew Bibles, John chapter 8. And we're going to look at a dialogue between the Pharisees and some of the Jewish people and Jesus. John chapter 8, and starting in verse 31. It says here, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Well, the Jews, they jumped right on that. The Pharisees, etc. And they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied then, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you what I've seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father." Now that's really got him wondering, because he's saying, "You do what your father tells you to do," and they're saying, "Wait a minute, Abraham is our father." Then Jesus says, "If you were Abraham's children, then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you're determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing things your own father does." Again, reference to a father that isn't Abraham's, not Abraham. So then they jump on that again, and they protest, and they say, "We're not illegitimate children. The only father we have is God himself." And Jesus said, "Oh, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God, and now I'm here. I've not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Why do you not understand what I'm telling you?" is what he's saying. "Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And yet, because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you don't hear me is that you do not belong to God." You know what? What Jesus is, he's telling them, look, you're not Abraham's children if you're not doing what Abraham would do. You know, they get all excited about that, but we did this, we did that. We've heard that all the time. But they're slaves to someone other than God. Because if they were slaves to God, if they belonged to God, they would do what he wanted them to do. And Jesus, he lowers the boom on them. He says, "Your father is the devil." And I want to tell you that when you're a slave to sin, that's who your father is. When you allow sin to run your life, and you do the things that the scripture says you shouldn't be doing, Jesus isn't your Savior. God isn't your Father. And it says here that Satan is a liar. It's his native language. And it's unfortunate because we see this all too often in our world and in our society, that lying is okay. You know, they say that you know, you don't want to really tell the truth. You got to give these lies. And we see all this stuff about fake news, right? Because they have no conscience. when it comes to telling the truth. They feel, I ran across an article, and it was this big headline article that Roethlisberger, the Steelers quarterback, lost part of his hand in a fireworks accident. And then you click on it, which is what they want you to do, to read the article. And it says, that's baloney and it's not true and, you know, and this and that. Why would you do that? Why would you say that? And I find in Facebook and other social media that there's articles that are deliberately lying about something to get you to click on it. They talk about celebrities who have died. And they really haven't died. There was one article that, you know, Joanna Gaines, she's a Christian woman. Her and her husband fix up houses in Texas, and they're on this home whatever network, and they do this for a living and everything. And it says here that, you know, in this article, that she's had enough and she's leaving her husband. Why would you tell that when it's not true? You know, and that's what the scripture calls slander, malicious gossip. It's not a person who belongs to the Lord that does something like that. And so, slavery. You know, when you're a slave, you have to do what that master wants you to do. And so if you're a slave to Satan, if you're a slave to sin, you have to do what that calls you to do. But Jesus says that if you believe in Him, if you're His child, if you're His slave, in other words, and actually we become children of God, so we no longer become slaves, we become part of the family. When you're part of that, the truth sets you free. That's an amazing thing, because now you no longer are slaves, but you're free. Now, I want to go to the next scripture. It's in Romans chapter 6, 17-15 in your pew Bibles. Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 15. 17-15, pew Bibles. It says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. You see, when you obey sin, when you follow sin, then you become that slave. You become the slave to sin. And so what is the benefit? The benefit is death. The benefit is, or the consequence would be more accurate, the consequence is death and destruction. We know that. But if you become a slave to righteousness, if you believe in Jesus as your Savior and become a slave to righteousness, what is the benefit? Eternal life, righteousness, a life of victory. You know, I remember way back, and this is way back, in my way, way younger years, you know, and we've all been there to some extent or another, and you do something you shouldn't be doing. Drink too much. Use a little drugs. Get involved in a relationship you shouldn't get involved with. You know, so one day, I remember looking in the mirror at my haggard self and thinking, am I having fun now? Is this really fun? What am I doing to myself? Why am I allowing this to control my life and to ruin it. Because the thing is that that never makes you better. I've never found anyone who overindulges in alcohol or drugs or anything else who is the shining example of how we need to live. I've never seen anybody who's been, you know, yeah, he's a drunk. Well, I want to follow him. He's a drug addict. You know, when I get older, I want to be that. I don't know anybody that does that. We all look at those. In fact, when we look at our celebrities and we look at our people in politics and our leaders and government people and all those individuals who are supposed to be shining examples of what we all should be striving for, and then they morally fail, what do? We cast stones. Remember when Brian Williams, he told that lie and he was fired. And I thought, but that's what society wants. They want people to tell lies. They want people to be something they're not. And all of a sudden, well, it's morally wrong now. But you see, that's our society. They want one and then they want the other. You know, and we look at our leaders and we expect them to be here. And then when we see them here, we wonder, what in the world? And just imagine if someone was driving down the street in Cranon here and saw me stagger out of a bar. Well, what would you think? Well, I know one thing. I probably wouldn't be behind the pulpit the next Sunday. You know? It just wouldn't happen. That's the consequences. And so, you know, the consequences, heavy drinking is blackouts, memory loss, anxiety, brain damage, mental health issues, liver damage, and a host of other things. When we're a slave to sin, it controls you. And it controls you to such an extent that you go, well, I don't care. I've seen that so often. I saw it just the other day. Somebody said, you know, I'm a drug addict and I don't care because I can't do anything about it. Yeah, you can. There is no lost cause. I want you to look at chapter 6 in Romans. We already saw that, 22, 23. Actually, I want to look at the further down, 22-23. It says, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And these are the benefits. You've been set free from sin by faith in Jesus Christ. You're set free from sin because of your faith in Jesus Christ. That sets you free to become the slave to God. Well, even more than that, Romans 8 tells us that we become children of God. So that's even better yet. By becoming children of God, now we have that inheritance. We become part of the family. Instead of playing with sin and then sin plays with you, instead of that, you become victorious in life. How does it all work? Well, the blessings that come through faith in Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life is just one of the benefits. That's after we pass from this life. But while we live in this life, He has given us the Holy Spirit to live in victory. It's so amazing. We had some stories last night about, you know, God's blessings. And I told a little story about us, you know, and some of you know that story where we were driving back with a moving van and from my dad. He gave me a few things and we're driving back and around Eau Claire, we're on that highway and hit a deer. going about 65. And so it crumpled the fender pretty bad, and we're stuck on the side of the road. We called U-Haul, and they said, we'll have a tow truck there to fix you up in no time. 5 hours later, I called them back. I said, you know, it's been a while, and haven't seen a tow truck. And she said, well, let me get you their phone number. You can call the tow truck. So we did. I said, so when do you think you'll be here? And he says, well, we're just starting out. And I said, well, where are you from? Michigan. I said, that's going to be a long trip. And he said, where are you at? I said, in Wisconsin, around Eau Claire. He says, oh my goodness. He says, I think they've got the wrong tow truck. I said, I think so too. So I called back U-Haul. And I said, what's going on? She hung up on me. So I call another guy, get another person, talk to him. He says, ah, I see exactly where you're at. She was probably on the wrong page. Yeah. But as we sat there, it was like, no problem. We didn't have a, you know, we prayed. We just were in the Lord's hands. We didn't, it was fine. We're not mad at anybody. We're just like, you know, wow, it's taken an awful long time. Well, we're thinking, you know, the Lord's maybe saving us from something that was ahead. And so we're good with that. So then as we got back on the road and we're traveling home, and we call the U-Haul dealer in Rhinelander to set up everything. And as Kathy's talking with the person in the U-Haul office, we said, you know, we're going to have trouble getting the U-Haul truck back because we've got a funeral on Saturday. And she said, is this Pastor Farr's wife? Yeah. She said, well, that's my dad's funeral you're doing on Saturday. So don't worry about the truck. We'll pick it up from the funeral. I'm telling you what. When God puts stuff together, it's pretty cool. You know, and I'm saying that yeah, you go through trouble in life. We all do. We all have issues. We all have trials. We go through it. But God gives us the power. God gives us the victory. If you look, if you seek Him, if you leave it in prayer, if you look to Him, He'll work it all out. It'll all come together for you. I know this because it's happened to us many, many times. When you turn back to Romans chapter 5 and you look at verses 6 and through 11, you know, it's such a neat scripture. It says, you see, at just the right time, isn't that just the way God works? At just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. It says, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, this is so cool when Jesus has done this for us. Just at the right time. We were powerless. There was nothing we could do. And yet, He died for us. Even though we knew nothing about Him, and in many cases didn't want anything to do with Him. But in verse 9 it says, since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? That's reconciliation. Reconciliation is to restore, to mend, to reunify. His sacrifice gives us power to live this life. It takes us away from the slavery of sin and brings us into the family of God so that we are free, and free indeed, to serve Him, to do the things that we are called to do in this life, and then to top it all off, the cherry on top. I had a hot fudge sundae the other day. whipped cream and cherry on top. And the cherry on top for us as Christians is eternal life. Because we are having a life here in this world, and I'll tell you what, if you're not in Christ, it's a miserable life. But in Christ, we have victory. We can shout, we can clap, we can be in total joy through this life because He's our Lord. And I'm going to be with Him someday. And you know, while I'm here in this world, I can tell people about Him and I can live according to His will and things just kind of go right together. I have nothing to fear. Like one of the songs said, nothing to fear. Just victory in Jesus. And I'll tell you what, that's what we're living for. And I want to have just a word of prayer because there may be somebody here, you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior yet. Maybe you've been around the church a long time. Maybe even taught Sunday school. Maybe given an awful lot of money to the church and who knows what else. But, you know, as far as coming to Christ, it's like, well, you know, I'm a good person. A good person doesn't make it. Because according to Scripture, trying to be a good person is trying to follow the law. And the law will condemn you. You will not get to heaven by following the Ten Commandments. You will not get to heaven by being a good person or giving a lot of money to the church. That's not going to cut it. The only way that you will find yourself in heaven someday, and that God will say, well done, good and faithful servant, and come on into my heaven, the only way is through Jesus Christ. Believing in Him as your Savior. Trusting Him with your life. Scripture says that Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. It has to be through Jesus Christ. So as we pray, I want you to pray with me. If you need Jesus in your life, if you feel Him tugging on your life, don't let it go. Don't push it off. Come to know Him so that when that day comes that you're called into eternity, it will not be the wrath of God. It will be the benefits, eternal life with Jesus. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, as we bow before You, Lord, we realize that right now many of us have been slaves to sin. Many of us, and all of us at one time or another, have been slaves to sin. But there's some people here right now that cannot break the chains. They've been slaves to sin. They've been following sin. They've not been able to break the chains. They've not been able to break that cycle. They've been following sin and doing the wrong things. And maybe they don't think it's totally bad. A little lie here, a little lie there, a little lust here, a little lust there. It's not so bad, but it is. It's against the Scripture. It's against Your Word. It's not according to Your will. And I pray, Lord, that they would realize, humble themselves, realize that I'm not cutting it. I haven't been for many, many years. I've been following my own ways, my own lusts, my own desires. And now is the time to break the chains of slavery to sin. Lord, that they would just pray, Jesus, I need You in my life. I have been a slave to sin. I have been following my own lusts and desires. And I have kept You out of my life. Not totally, there's been parts that I gave You, but a lot of parts I don't. I have a lot of things I hold in my heart and I've kept away from You. But today, I want to give it all to You. I open up my heart and I ask You, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart, to fill me with Your Spirit, to break the bondage of sin that I've been struggling with my entire life. And I want You to take control. Make me Your slave. I want to be a child of God. Lord Jesus, please forgive me. for my rebelliousness, from the sins that I have committed. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiveness. Thank you for breaking those chains, for setting me free. And Lord, I thank you so much for this time that we have together. And I pray as we sing this last song that it is truly a song of worship and praise. We glorify you because you have saved us and you have lifted us up. We pray now for your blessings as we close in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and